You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here again, reminding you that if you're a Browns backer, guess what? We've got a new portal for you that is going to knock your socks off. Go to fans.clevelandbrowns.com. Exclusive access, giveaways, and more. Again, that's fans.clevelandbrowns.com.
You'll have to give me, I've got to give a shout out. Last night I got to spend some time, Nathan, with the Akron Browns backers group. Over
at the
Barley House, I believe, in Akron. And what a great group of people. Signed autograph, took pictures with them all, got to give them the inside Cleveland Browns Daily perspective on the Cleveland Browns, but great people who are dedicated to the Cleveland Browns, the first Browns backers organization. So this is your shout-out to the Akron Browns backers.
That's strong. Look at you.
Yeah.
Look at you. All right, I was saying fact or fiction. That was silly. It was foolish. It is time for a little after further review, so we bring in our producer, Emmett Golden, today. What's up, Emmett?
What's going on, guys?
How you doing?
I'm doing great.
What do you think about the Ben Tate situation?
I think my man Pettin and Farmer flexed their muscles today. I think they let him know that there will be no games being played on the Browns team. If you don't like it, you are more than welcome to play somewhere else.
That's right. It's exactly right.
I dig it.
Yep. So let's get to some after further review.
Let's do it.
After further review...
Guys, does Brian Hoyer's incompletion numbers and incompletion percentage concern you?
For me, it has to. And I think when you look at a quarterback's productivity, you initially look at that completion percentage first. You don't look at the number of attempts. You don't look at the number of completions. You look at that percentage, and then you move your way down that stat line into tight ends, touchdowns versus interceptions, and then to that rating. But also, too, I think because of the way in which that rating is kind of like an unknown factor of how they actually get to that rating, you go back to that percentage. So it's very big concern for me because of the accuracy of Brian Hoyer comes into question. And we've talked all year how open a lot of these receivers have been, and it just misfires for whatever reason.
Brian Hoyer, this is Pro Football Focus's stats right here. This is quarterback accuracy percentage, where they take completions plus drops, so they count your drops, divided by attempts minus any throwaway, spikes, batted passes, or hit is thrown. So anything where you can't make an on-target throw. And Brian Hoyer ranks 29th out of the 29 quarterbacks who have participated in 50% of their team's dropbacks at a 65.4% accuracy rate. The best in the league is Drew Brees at 81%, Aaron Rodgers number two at 77%, etc. So a little bit of a big gap there between the top and the bottom. In fact, there are 25 quarterbacks in the league at 71% or higher. Only Geno Smith, Nick Foles, Cam Newton, and Hoyer are below 70% on this particular stat. So yes, it is concerning to me. Obviously, the accuracy woes. Now, for the most part, he's done a good job of being accurate when it matters the most, and certainly on his deep balls as well. But yes, the accuracy concerns me. And then under pressure, that's really where it has been. It's really stood out. He is the least accurate quarterback in the NFL under pressure as well. 36% completion percentage, 46.6% accuracy percentage. So listen, especially with Alex Mack out, kind of life in the NFL is going to be some pressure on the Browns. So those are things that do bother me. Now, I do expect those numbers to improve with Josh Gordon back. He's got a bigger catch radius. You don't need to be as precise, and I'll be interested to see how those numbers change when he gets his star back. So, yes, I am concerned, but obviously he's done enough for this team to be 6-4, so I'm not overly concerned.
After further review.
Who needs to step up on defense in light of all the injuries that the Browns have?
I think first and foremost, the player that pops into my mind is Dante Whitner, and I think he's able to make that impact at the strong safety position. You'd like to look at Joe Hayden and as the other Pro Bowler in that defensive backfield, but his impact is only limited to when the ball is thrown his direction. And I think Dante Whitner is a guy that can both play the run and the pass and can make his presence felt. The other guy that I think that we've seen some amazing flashes of throughout this football season, but then also, too, he plays so great that he garners so much attention in the following weeks is Paul Kruger. He goes for a sack or multiple sacks in a football game and then goes games without sacks. So he is someone now with Jabal Sheard possibly done for a while. Barkevious Mingo will continue to be in that dropping role that I'd like to see Paul Kruger and our ability to affect the opposing quarterbacks, which did not happen at all with Ryan Mallett and Houston Texans. So Paul Kruger and Dante Whitner in my eyes.
All right, for me, it's going to be up front, the defensive line. Desmond Bryant, Ataba Rubin, Billy Wynn, Sione Fua, Ishmaili Kitchen. The Browns need to kind of be able to control the point of attack, and I think that these guys are all playing, I think maybe with some minor injuries as well, certainly Rubin and Wynn there. You need to see them step up. You need to see Ataba Rubin be the kind of difference-making defender that I know he can be and play to the level, the standard of excellence that he has displayed. That's the reason why he has been so highly compensated, and I don't think we've seen that from him this year as often as we'd like, and I definitely think he needs to step up. Billy Wynn, Dez Bryant, that whole defensive line can help free up these linebackers to make plays, because now with Dansby out, Craig Robertson and Kirksey are going to have to step up. With Sheard out, Mingo is going to have to step up. Eric Martin's going to have to step up. The only place we're intact right now is the back end of the defense. So if you're going to attack the Browns, make sense, spread out that back end like the Texans did and run the football. The only way to stop that is by guys up front at the point of attack winning. So that's why I think the defensive line really needs to step up.
After further review,
how would you incorporate Josh Gordon into the offense?
You're going to put him in explosive situations. What does that mean? That means Josh Gordon, in most cases, is going to light up across from a guy and have an opportunity to win 9 times out of 10. That being said, I think the sooner that Brian Hoyer is able to read a defense, you know, after the ball is snapped and see which way that safety is leaning, he can immediately go away from Josh Gordon. But Josh Gordon is a down-the-field threat. He is a big, physical wide receiver. There are so many ways we can incorporate Josh Gordon. I've touched upon a few of them. His ability to block in the run game, the reverses, the fly sweeps, the deep ball. I look to see him be used a heck of a lot this week and only grow as he gets more comfortable and his legs below him. But in every way possible is how I see Josh Gordon being incorporated.
Yes, early and often. You go back to last year, you look at Josh Gordon. He comes in after, granted, it was a 2-game suspension. And you go back to that game in Minnesota, and he was stepped right onto the field right there, 19 targets, 10 catches, 146 yards, stepped right in, seemingly played that entire game. And that's what I would like to see. If he's ready to go, I say let's do it. I'd like to see him be able to do that because he means so much to this football team. And we'll take a look back at last year. Josh Gordon came in and played 72 of 75 snaps and ran 54 of 57 pass routes in that one. That's what I would like to see if it's possible. You incorporate him in every way possible in this offense because I think what he brings to this table for you is so many things. He's going to open up the running game for you. He's going to open up lanes. I think we're going to see some bigger creases in the ground game for a guy like Isaiah Crowell to hit that home run. He had the 35-yard run last week, the longest run of the season for the Browns. I think he can do that and more this week. Same for Terrence West. He's going to open things up for Hawk, open things up in the middle for the tight ends. Hopefully Jordan Cameron will be able to get back out there, but I say incorporate him and use him every which way possible.
After further review,
in your opinion, who is the hottest team in the NFL right now?
The hottest team in the NFL right now has to be the Arizona Cardinals. They sit at 9-1, even with their backup quarterback pulled through another great victory to keep that amazing season alive. And Bruce Arians, in most people's case, maybe just ahead of Coach Mike Pettine as NFL Coach of the Year. And runner-up has to be the New England Patriots and their dismantling of the Indianapolis Colts. The running back, Tom Brady, Gronkowski, and that attitude that they're playing with right now is unmatched. And then I got to go with my boys, the Green Bay Packers. As someone, the ESPN.com power ranking says, Matt Flynn, the human victory cigar, has played in 5 of the last 6 games. And that means Aaron Rodgers is not even finishing games, that the game is in hand. So Green Bay, New England, and number one, Arizona.
All right, since you listed a lot of teams there, I'm going to take a different one. I'm going to go with the Kansas City Chiefs, winners of 5 in a row, who are now tied for the lead in the AFC West. They have won not only 5 in a row, 7 of their last 8, including a dismantling of Miami 34-15, a dismantling of New England 41-14, their only loss coming to the 49ers on the road 22-17. They just beat Seattle at home. They just beat Buffalo on the road. They beat San Diego on the road, which kind of started the downturn. And they've got an interesting schedule at Oakland, then home for Denver in a big game at Arizona. Arizona, home for Oakland at Pittsburgh, and then versus San Diego. But I think they're a hot team. There are quite a few hot teams in the NFL. You hit on a bunch of them. But, yes, it is hard to discount right now what Arizona is doing at 9-1 on the season, the best record in the National Football League. They've been fantastic. Just a wild year, that's for sure. That Arizona team getting it done and getting it done with defense. They've only given up 176 points this year. That's the third fewest in the NFL behind Kansas City and behind the Detroit Lions. So they have been playing very good defense down there in Arizona. They have a differential of plus 61. Did you know, Matt Wilhelm, that the Chiefs at plus 70 actually have the third best differential in the league behind only New England at plus 105 and the Baltimore Ravens at plus 80?
I did not know that. I know Baltimore has obviously been playing some up and down football, but a very, very stingy defense.
Yes, they have been. They've scored 261 points, given up 181. Lots of hot teams in the National Football League. All right, we're going to wrap things up with your phone calls now. 216-578-0850 on this day where Ben Tate has been released by the Cleveland Browns, making a strong statement that if you're not going to play like a Brown, you won't be playing for the Browns. Stan in Brooklyn, welcome to the show.
Oh, boy. I have to put a hold on my playoff tickets, don't I?
Put a hold on him? I mean, listen, I think it's fine to be excited. The Browns, I think, need to go out and get this W. I think this is a very important game.
Well, you know, every game is important, but I'd like to have you expand on how many starters we've lost. And
so,
how much longer can we go without these people at these critical positions? And, you know, I really... The Browns don't win this one inside, even with the weaknesses that we do have. And we do have weaknesses. I'm afraid that we're in deep, deep trouble.
Yeah, we'll see. A lot of the injuries are mounting up. You look on the offensive side of the ball, Alex Mack out, obviously, and that's been a big one. Pro Football Focus tweeted out an interesting stat. Cleveland running backs were hit behind the line of scrimmage on 17% of carries with Mack on the field, 29% of their carries. That means one of every four times that
Wow.
we hand the ball off, more than that even, three out of every 10, our running backs are getting hit behind the line of scrimmage since Alex Mack has gone out, and that's why the Browns have the most negative runs in the NFL. That's a tough stat. You haven't had Jordan Cameron. Yeah, you know, for half of the season at least, and then defensively now, you're without Phil Taylor, you're without John Hughes, you're without Armani Bryan, who was looking like a good pass rusher and good lineman for this team. You're without Carlos Dansby, you're without Jabal Sheard now. So that's at least seven major injuries that you've had for this team, and probably, you know, you got at least two starters on defense, two starters on offense, and probably, you know, at least, the very least, three rotation players on that D-line. Maybe we'll call it a starter and a half, but it is it's tough.
It is very tough, and I've been a part of those situations both as a team, and I've also been a guy that has, you know, come off the streets to fill those voids. And that's one thing that, again, as you look at this roster to start the football season, that we have not had to really go out and find free agent help. We've continued to win football games and be in football games and compete and fight with the guys that they have in this locker room. 95% of Sione Fua is one addition who, of course, has been getting some reps as well. But it's very difficult, and it has to it wears on you as the season goes on, because it's almost one of those situations where you throw your hands up and you're like, what now? Or who now? And like, are you kidding me? And just as we talk about that rapport being built between quarterback and wide receiver, that week we'll keep a highlight on Josh Gordon and Brian Hoyer in doing that. The same thing exists on the defensive side of the ball. You know, certain guys playing next to certain guys, or Carlos Dansby as the vocal and emotional leader, but also, too, as the signal caller for that defense as well, will be tough. And so Robertson or Kirksey will have to either split the role, or one will assume that, but it will never match what Carlos Dansby did for this defense.
It's tough, and that's life in the National Football League. Unfortunately, it is a physical game, and it is tough. People are going to lose starters, and the Browns certainly have been hit by that injury bug. It's seemingly harder and harder of late. Ben Tate released by the Browns today. Got a lot of great weigh-in. John Clayton from ESPN. We heard from the voice of the Browns, Jim Donovan. Tom Withers from the Associated Press. Eric Edholm from Yahoo. So you can get this show on demand later at ClevelandBrowns.com or on the Browns mobile app. Ben Tate is out. Terrence West, Isaiah Crowell will be the backs going forward. And you've got Glenn Winston getting some love as well. He'll be active. For Matt Wilhelm, I'm Nathan Zagura saying thank you for all of your calls. Thanks to Emmett, and stay tuned for the Golden Boys. Thank you for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily,
driven by Liberty Ford.
Josh Gordon back, baby.